In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fear is a great motivator in this world, isn't it? I mean, think of all the things that people in this world do because of some fear they have. They dress or they act a certain way because they're afraid of not fitting in or maybe sticking out like a sore thumb. They attend a certain party or event or function, not necessarily because they want to, but because they're afraid of offending someone else who might be in attendance. But even more than causing us to do things, fear often prevents us from doing things. Think of all the things that people won't do because of fear. Everything from not taking a walk at night to being absolutely paralyzed in the face of a major career decision. And if you want some more personal examples from your own lives, think of your high school years and all the things that you did or wouldn't do because you were concerned with what other people thought of you. I was reading recently about a speech that was delivered by a Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, the old leader of the Communist Soviet Union during the 1960s, and he was making a speech decrying the policies of his predecessor, Joseph Stalin, and then some heckler from the crowd shouted out, "Well, you were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" "Who said that?" Khrushchev barked. And there was silence. "Now you know why I, too, said nothing," Khrushchev continued his speech. Now, if we look at today's gospel lesson, I think we can make a pretty good case for the influence of fear as it relates to the Pharisees. Now, say what you will about the Pharisees, but they're not stupid. They realize that they live in a very volatile time. The Romans hate the Jews. The Jews hate the Romans. Yet, in spite of this hatred, they were able to work out an uneasy truce. And I really want to emphasize the word uneasy. Perhaps some better descriptive terms are powder keg or ticking time bomb. They all know that any little spark is going to set the whole region ablaze with violence and bloodshed. And it's in this context that they become aware of a potential spark in Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, surrounding John the Baptist. Now, I imagine they really don't know what to make of John the Baptist. He's either a religious zealot, someone who's going to rile up the Jews, and there's going to be trouble, and the Pharisees are afraid, or they're not really sure about John, but they think he has something to do with the coming Messiah, and they're afraid of not acting in the face of such a momentous occasion, and so act they do. They gather a group of low-level associates, send them out to Bethany to find out what John is all about, question him, maybe even intimidate him a little. And how intimidating this must have been. People from the political slash social slash religious elite are sent to you, find out what you're all about, make sure you're not causing any trouble. This is very mafioso, isn't it? And believe me, I'm from Chicago, home of Al Capone, Sam Giancana. I know gangland-style intimidation when I see it in Holy Scripture. So it amazes me that the only person in our text today seemingly unmotivated by fear is John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the man entrusted with a message to point others toward the coming Messiah. In the face of intimidation, confronted by the powers that be, realizing that he might be presented with a new pair of cement shoes and taken for a swim, he does not back down, but sticks to his message. "I'm not the Christ, but I'd like to show him to you." We can draw a lot of parallels between us here today and John the Baptist. John was a man chosen by God. We are persons chosen by God through baptism in the Word. John was given the blessing and responsibility to point others toward the Christ. We are given the same blessing and responsibility. John was surrounded by people who desperately needed to hear this message. And in our day-to-day lives, we are surrounded by the same sorts of people. Unfortunately, I think we can also draw some parallels between us and the Pharisees. And specifically, I'm thinking the motivating influence of fear. If you're like most Christians in the world today, the thought of evangelism or witnessing causes all those old high school fear of men memories to come rushing back to you. Witness, well, my friends, my colleagues, my family, whoever, they might get angry at me. They might think I'm weird and stop talking to me. My self-esteem and my social life, they might be irreparably damaged. I might be the recipient of personal attacks. And so the end result, yes, I am afraid for the unbeliever as I consider where he is going to spend eternity. But even more so, I'm afraid of the unbeliever and what they might do to me. I take this little gospel light of mine and I hide it. It's my secret. Nobody is going to hear it from me as long as there's a threat of personal consequences. And so in my sinfulness, in my self-centeredness, I sit idly by and watch people I know line up behind Satan like so many children behind the Pied Piper and merrily dance their way to hell. What would John the Baptist think of me? More importantly, what would Jesus think of me? The holy man, the holy Lamb of God, the man whose sandals none of us are worthy to stoop down and untie. What does he think of us? Well, I know what Jesus thinks of us. He looks at us, sinful as we are, stubborn as we are, fearful as we are. He looks at us, and he loves us. This is beyond me. I can't make heads nor tails of this. It doesn't make any sense. There doesn't seem to be any reason whatsoever why Jesus would look at us, people trapped by our own sin, people paralyzed by our own fear, people who have made ourselves slaves to our own self-esteem, why he would look at us and love us. And yet this is exactly what he has done. He's looked at you. He loves you. He has mercy on you. He looked at you trapped by your own sin, and he set you free from that trap. He's looked at you frozen by your own fear, and he's warmed you with his love. He's looked at you enslaved to your own self-image, and he's made you a free man. And this was no easy task either. It came at a great price, not gold, not silver, but his own holy and precious blood, given and shed for you through beatings, through torture, and ultimately through death on a cross. As he worked to set us free from our self-made traps, he has done all the things that we have made ourselves afraid of. He's took the insults that we're afraid of. He's received the anger that we cower in fear of. And although we're afraid of personal attacks, verbal and physical, he was the recipient of attacks we can't even begin to imagine. He did it all for us. He has made his perfect obedience our perfect obedience. His work has freed us from all of our sins, and the gifts don't stop there. 3 days after he died, he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and promises that he will be back to gather all believers to himself, every one of them, the great and the small, the young and the old, the professor emeritus, and the kids who are in the back of the chapel who shake our hands as we leave. Every single believer will be gathered to him to be with him forever. Death is not the end for us. It's life. Life in abundance. Life eternal with the Lamb of God. What a tremendous blessing. And so we anxiously await the King's return, hopeful and expectant. And with the whole church on earth this Advent season, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, come quickly. And while we wait, we're surrounded by people who are afraid, people with damaged self-esteems, people who desperately need the gospel message. And so it's appropriate to thank God for the example he has given us in John the Baptist, who, while he waited for the coming king, never deviated from his message. I'm not the Christ, but I know who is, and I'd like to show him to you. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away my sin, who takes away your sin, who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, praise his holy name forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.